This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to New York, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. This is Basma Farhead of the People Speak Radio. I want to tell everyone how you too can make a difference. This show is the culmination of a group of friends that had the need and the desire to speak out on issues that we are all consumed with, not only in our nation, but in our world today. So we took action. Our producer wanted to take it to the next level, to the level of doing and not talking. So here we are, and tonight we're talking to an American icon, actor and comedian Chevy Chase. Hello, Chevy. Welcome to the People Speak Radio. It's an honor to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you very much for the word honor.
And the word, the magical word honor.
Yeah, nothing like it. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Very well, thank you. I'm
good.
Watching a movie.
You know, and I watched one today, too. You're not going to believe it. It was so coincidental with your interview tonight. I actually was watching Cops and Robertson.
Good afternoon. It's one of the worst films I ever made.
I loved it, though. You know why? I absolutely love you and love Jack Palance, too. So I had two of my favorites.
Jack Palance is a great guy. He's a nice fella. That's one of the reasons I did it. But otherwise, it was just a kid's picture.
Well, I understand you've got a new movie coming out.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice if it were true.
I was told that you have a movie called Funny Money coming out.
That's a little independent picture. I don't know where it's playing and stuff. It's around. It's getting good reviews, I heard. Somebody told me I got a bunch of good reviews.
Well, that's a good thing. I guess that's always a good thing.
It's a rather unusual thing.
What is it about?
In any case, I'm watching The Last King of Scotland as we speak.
Ah, I hear that's supposed to be a great movie.
It seems good, yeah. Yeah. I think it's up for an award. That's why I'm watching it.
The Academies are coming up. I'm sure that's a lot of fun for somebody that's probably been to a number of them.
Yes, I've hosted four of them, so I think I've seen plenty of them.
You know, as an actor, let me ask you something. How do you see yourself in 5 years from now, Chevy? I mean, what kind of work do you anticipate yourself doing? Are you planning anything big or?
Not particularly. I've been retired for about 8 to 10 years. I just came back with this picture of Funny Money, and this is a very small picture, but playing at very few theaters. But I'm starting to make inroads now and come back in bigger pictures. And I've been retired because I have three daughters who are had to go through puberty and adolescence and get through the college and through college and all that stuff. And Janie, my wife, couldn't do it alone, and I didn't think I thought the best way to do it would be to get out of L.A. and get to the Northeast where I live and get out of this business. And I had a good 25 years of a lot of fun and a lot of money, and it was terrific, and I just thought that they needed full attention of their parents for that period of hormonal upheaval, and it was a wise choice. Now I've missed doing pictures, and I've missed the fun of making people laugh or whatever, but I think that you're going to see me in more serious roles, probably. It appears that that's the kind of scripts that are being sent to me.
So, really? That's interesting. How do you feel about that?
It's fine with me. The joy I get out of it is really just the doing of it, and the being around the crews and the other actors and the challenge. Although I must admit, find comedy is a lot harder, because it takes so much more athleticism and kind of musical timing, and, it's just But I'm finding serious acting to be kind of interesting too. It's very hard to say. I've only done a couple of things so far that I can't tell you what it's going to be like in the future. 5 years from now, I'll be in my mid 60s or late 60s, that's already moving on. So it's really hard to tell you where I'll be. I can't even imagine. Don't know. I might just be here watching my grandchildren get born.
Well, that would be a fun thing. Let me ask you something. You know, a lot of the actors in Hollywood have really been speaking out, and this isn't unusual for Hollywood. In fact, especially in times of war, as our country has been. And how much influence do you think Hollywood should have on current events?
I think it depends on the individual. I personally have been political all my life, and I started off that way on Saturday Night Live when I kind of founded that show with Lorne Michaels, and most of my writing was political satire. So I've always been involved, and I've known just about every president since John Kennedy, and I've been friends with certainly most of them, except for the Republicans. Not Bush, but Clinton, very good friends, and very good friends with Carter and others. It depends on who you are. I think it's important for Hollywood to speak out because they have a voice that's heard everywhere on television, and the more people you can get involved, these celebrities who appear places the way I have over the years draw a lot of people to functions that raise money to fund, the right people running. So I think in that sense, there's great import to it. But whether or not actors who make movies are necessarily educated and really follow what's going on in Washington and the details of what's going on in the world, that's up to the individual.
Do you feel that maybe sometimes some of them are just riding the bandwagon?
I don't know. I don't. Do I feel that? No. I don't. I feel that probably that's the case in all over the world, that people are riding bandwagons. But there's an interesting kind of thing that goes on between presidents and movie stars. Usually a movie star wants to be a president, the president wants to be a movie star, and it's kind of funny.
We've seen that happen.
That's the way it happens. But, there are a few who I know who are involved and get involved, and sometimes they're involved just because they like to hang out at the White House or Camp David or whatever. Sometimes they're involved because they really care and they really know the issues, and I'm more of the other type. Of course, I like hanging out in the White House and Camp David too, but that's sort of secondary. Really, I think that if you can hang around a person who's as intelligent as Clinton for 8 years and more, I mean, he lives down the road, we're friends. This is a plus in one's life. It's intellectually, and that makes one's life richer and deeper and much more interesting. But what kind of a difference can we make? I don't think there's a hell of a lot more than just as fundraisers, really.
Okay. Let me ask you something. One of the presidents you poked fun good-naturedly at was now the late Gerald Ford, President Gerald Ford. Since his recent passing, do you think of those days with regret or with fondness, Chevy?
No, I think of those days with great fondness. I recently wrote an op-ed in the Times about it. It was out 2 Saturdays ago, I believe. You might have had the opportunity to see it if you read the New York Times. If you don't, then you don't. But I think what I said there kind of made it clear that I liked this man. I thought he was a lovely man, a very sweet person, and simply not equipped to be in the White House, never was, and never was elected, and I was happy to see that I had a hand in keeping him from being elected and getting Carter in at the time. But I have fond memories of that time because that was 1976 when we started our show. And, when I became famous, it was a huge event for me, obviously, in my life.
Let me ask you, Chevy, you mentioned President Carter a couple of times, and I did not realize that you were such a great fan, and I, too, am a great fan of President Carter. How do you feel about all the hoopla about his new book and the beating he's taking because of it from the Jewish community?
Haven't read it, don't know what the hoopla is about, and don't really give a crap. Couldn't care
that
less.
Worked.
I just think it's all showbiz stuff to me. I don't know. I mean, I imagine if I turn CNN on, I'll hear about it. But I haven't read the book yet, and I don't know what the hoopla is. Why don't you tell me, and I'll respond.
Well, the book, the president's book, President Carter's book, was about the events in Palestine, Israel, likening the Israeli occupation of Palestine to an apartheid state in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken a pretty big beating because of it.
I don't think he meant that. I saw him on television the other night talking about it. I think it's being simplified, and I think it's that's just showbiz. I don't even have anything to say about that. I mean.
Well, what about our new administration? How do you feel about the Bush in Hollywood? That connection there? I know that.
Is there one?
Well, I thought so, especially on the ship when he was doing his turkey routine with his faux turkey. I thought that was pretty good Hollywood.
what was that? Oh, when he did
well,
what?
When he was on the ship and he claimed that mission accomplished.
Oh yeah.
And during that period of time, it was during the Thanksgiving holiday, he was taking pictures on board ship with a turkey. It turned out that it was a fake turkey. It was a stunt turkey.
No, this is a god-awful man. I mean, I just wrote something this morning for the Times, or was it yesterday morning, about 4 a.m. I got up and wrote. This is just an outrageous situation, and I'm amazed that there hasn't been much more of a democratic cry out for his impeachment and an immediate move to impeach this guy. I mean, it's outrageous that a president of the intelligence and experience of Bill Clinton can be impeached for a dalliance in the White House, or outside the White House, wherever the hell it was, in the Oval Office closet. And this guy is responsible for an Islamic Jihad, and is responsible for lying to the people in this country about WMDs and an imminent threat by this Hussein, and that he's gotten as far as he's gotten without there being now with this with the Democratic majority. Impeachment proceedings have not been begun yet. I can't understand it. That was the nature of what I just wrote.
Do you think that he should be impeached?
Yeah, and I also feel strongly that we should stop hearing this concept from the from various Republicans of the idiocy that if we don't support Bush, we're not supporting our troops. It's just so idiotic. The idea that we don't care about these kids, 18 to 21 or 22, and some of the veterans of other wars who are getting killed. That we don't care about them if we want them out. I mean,
we're considered anti-American and and as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what would be more American than wanting our troops home safe and sound.
Yeah, and the idea that it—I mean, how often do you hear on a daily basis from one person or another who backs Bush saying it sends a message to our troops? They don't hear this. They're in the midst of getting their legs blown off by IEDs. I don't know what the hell is going on. And there's no message being sent. It's not like they listen to the radio and watch TV all day. They're just trying to keep themselves alive.
Exactly.
We need to get them out.
They're fighting to save their friends in combat.
That's right.
So there you have it.
I mean, it's a very sad situation, and what's worse
is... Do you see us getting out of Iraq, Chevy?
What?
Do you see us getting out of Iraq?
I hope to heck we get out before his term is up, because if he leaves it to the next administration, it's going to be hell. It's the real problem is not Iraq anymore. It's Iran. It's what we've done to weaken our own military. It's what China is now doing. I think we should get them out before we start seeing Chinese paratroopers in the malls and in the, in the cornfields.
That would be interesting.
And see, you know, I mean, North Korea blow up. And, I mean, there are so many other areas that we can no longer really say we're the strongest military in the world. We're scattered, and we're injured, and we've been wasted, and it's just it's outrageous that this continues.
Well, you know, we had a lot of reinforcement around Iran in our Navy and in lots of areas. Do you think we're actually going to hit Iran, Chevy?
I certainly hope not. I don't know. I'm not privy to what we're going to do or not do in that area, but as, mm-hmm. as time goes on, in the last few days, it appears that all of the talk about Iran's Shia influence in this in the civil war in Iraq is Bush's and the administration's way of saying, you know, we're going to have to threaten them and tell them they can't do this, or will what? Iran would just eat us up, and that's that. And how many of these nutcases that are basically tribal issues anyway, do you think
exactly.
are going to wait exactly. before they use a nuclear weapon if they make one or get one or get one of those suitcases?
Well, at the rate of escalation of the violence in the world today, I don't think it'll be very long.
Don't know. I don't want to be a. I don't want to incite anything, but I mean, it frightens me that 9/11 was one thing. I lost friends on the plane. I was actually going to be on a plane going out, and before I got in the car, that happened, and I saw it happen. It's just amazing. I can tell you. What's that? Oh, I can tell you.
That's our guest calling in. Go ahead, finish your thoughts, Chevy.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. What did you say?
No, I was saying that was a guest of ours calling in. We'll be taking calls from the guest. If you will just wait till Chevy finishes his thought on that, and then we'll take your question.
Right. What was my thought? What were you talking about?
I'm sorry, I lost it too. Obviously, this thought was a wash right now.
Yeah, that's
probably best. Okay, let's take our first call. Caller, could you please give us your first name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Chevy Chase.
Hi, my name is Mike from California, and I'd like to ask Mr. Chase, what was his favorite character that he portrayed on Saturday Night Live? Thank you.
My favorite
Thank you, Mike.
Character?
Yes.
On Saturday Night Live.
Probably the shark. Because it was just came out of nowhere, really. You know, the land shark?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that or not, but...
I
remember writing that afternoon, and we had a shark head made, and I had to...
Was that something you had input on? Did you actually create the character on them?
Yeah, I wrote it and created it, and had the shark head made, and got in the shark head, and I was the guy who was opening the mouth of the shark and grabbing everybody coming out of the, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was my voice. That was me.
Well, it's nice. I wasn't sure, you know, because you never know how much input an actor or a comedian has in his type of work, especially
well,
when you're doing a show like
this. I mean, you have to understand, the very first year of this show, there were what, seven of us, and, you know, ten writers or something? I mean, that's, now they've got 100 or something, God knows, I don't know. I mean, it was basically Lauren and I wrote about half the show for the whole year.
Isn't that amazing? So you had a lot of input on that one.
I would say so.
That's wonderful. We didn't realize that. You just assume naturally that it would be a cast of writers in the background that's doing all the work.
I'm afraid not. I'm afraid that that's...
Well, I'm glad that it wasn't, because that just shows the talent and the incredible creativeness you had and
well,
still do.
I've been doing it for some time, and for 12 years I was a writer before that, so...
I didn't know. How interesting.
Yeah, he picked me up out there. I was on the Smothers Brothers show at that time, which was a very big television show.
And I love the Smothers Brothers, and I didn't read anything about that as I was doing my research on each other.
Yeah, I was writing for them when I met Lauren.
Oh God, that must have, well then absolutely, because they did some of my favorite routines during that period of time.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. We have another caller. Caller, can you please give us your name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Chevy Chase?
Yeah, my name is Chase, believe it or not, and I'm just a huge fan of Chevy's. I love all of his 80s movies and just really all of his films. He's just a great, great person and great actor. Much respect from me. But anyway, my question for him was, what does he think of religion, and what does he think of the atheist community?
What do I think of religion and the atheist
community? And the atheist community.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know there was an atheist community.
Well,
do you guys wear anything?
What do you think of atheists in general, I guess, is more specifically my question.
I have no real feeling about it one way or the other. I'm not particularly religious. I don't particularly like organized religion.
Okay.
Although I was born Episcopalian, I suppose, I never really went to church much. Most of my friends were Jewish and black, and, you know, I mean, I came from East Harlem in New York City. I was very religious one way or the other, and probably was atheistic to some degree myself, so you're certainly agnostic, and I don't have any major feelings about it one way or the other. I think you'd be hard pressed to prove to me that there was that there was some single being called God that, after all of the Darwin that I've read and all the behavioralism I've studied over the years and my background in college and what I majored in and what I care about, and I'm not an atheist, but I certainly am not particularly religious.
Well, thank you. Thank you, caller. Thank you, Chase. We have another caller, Chevy. Caller, your name, where you're calling from, and your brief question for Chevy Chase.
Yes, my name is Tammy, and I am from Lufkin, Texas. Are you there?
Hi, Debbie,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to end up having to switch phones here. This one here that I've got is kind of a crappy phone. I just had a quick question for him, that's all. I just wondered what his point of view was on the young actors today and the young music artists, actually.
I can't hear her.
She's asking what your opinion is on the young actors and the young musical artists of today's genre.
Oh. I have as much respect for them as I had for myself and the actors of my time. I mean, I'm a little older now. It happened kind of fast, but I've been watching these. I love the Matt Damons and I love Brad Pitt and many of the girls that I see. And I've got to tell you, I just saw DiCaprio and Blood Diamond and The Departed, and he's just head and shoulders above the great majority of the other young actors. He was absolutely remarkable, and I know all of these kids. You know, I meet them in various functions and whatnot, and they're just getting started, at the top of their game, and I have great respect for them. I think they're terrific.
And you're right, DiCaprio was remarkable.
Yeah, DiCaprio he does stand a little bit taller than the others, than some of them. But you can't say that. You can say that about Brad Pitt too, on occasion, and so can you about Matt Damon. You know, it depends on what the part is. DiCaprio is really remarkable, in my opinion. Again, those are just three guys. I mean, there are so many now. The way things have changed since I started out, there are so many more publications. Stars are generally made by the written press, and there's so much more written press. And there's so much more cable and DVD availability that even I am much more famous now than I was 10 years ago, you know. Around the world. I mean, it's rather remarkable, but it's...
Well, your movies are timeless, Chevy. They really are.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no, they are. Believe me, you wouldn't believe what people are saying in the virtual auditorium we have here.
Oh,
they
no.
are just loving you.
Well, I don't know. I liked about six or seven of them, and there I must have made 40, so... I mean, I thought that Fletch was great. I thought that Caddyshack was great. I thought that some of the vacations.
Which one was your favorite?
I think Fletch was the most fun because I just winged it, basically. I mean,
did you really?
I was allowed to just improvise, and that's what I did. And then at the end, I simply looked at the footage, and we made our cuts, and I put a voiceover, which I also winged, on it to as a device to bring it together, the plot and everything. And that was the most fun for me because it really was me. It was just me being me. Pretty much the way I was, the way I lived, the way I...
Now, that's an interesting insight.
Yeah.
We have another caller here, Chevy. Caller, can you please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your brief question for Chevy Chase?
Yes, my name is Warren, and I'm calling from Sacramento, California. How you doing, Chevy?
Good, how are you, Juan?
I'm very good, thank you. I have a question. I've always been a big fan of your movies, National Lampoon Vacation.
Yeah.
And out of the curious question I have is, when they did the newest vacation movie, the Europe, or not the European, but the newest one, why did you not get in it?
What newest one?
Well, the one that Going the Distance, National Lampoons.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even know it exists. I mean,
yeah.
I've heard of it. The vacation movies were very specific to me and Randy Quaid and Beverly D'Angelo. Those are National Lampoon vacation movies. That I think, along with Animal House, which I turned down, and I did Foul Play instead as my first picture. Those are the pictures that made the Lampoon. Also a movie, you know, get involved in movies. But before that, I had been working with the Lampoon for years as a writer and on their radio show. And but they make a lot of movies that I have nothing to do with. So I don't think this new one that you mentioned is a vacation movie. It certainly wouldn't do it without me.
Thank you very much, caller, for calling in.
Thanks for calling.
And, Chevy, I know you're going to be leaving in just a couple of minutes. What are we going to be looking forward to seeing as far as, do you have any projects that are lined up currently that you're, or
there
just
are a
kind
couple,
of...
Yeah, there are a few. I'm as I said, just getting back into it again, so it's a little tougher than, like, if it's not like I'm Billy Murray, who lives across the way, you know, when he got hot at around the time when I wasn't. So he's going to get a lot more scripts and have a lot more choices than I get. But that's because I've been away and kind of disappeared for a while. But we'll see what happens. It's very difficult to say. It's a very competitive area. And to be at the top of the field for a long period the way I was... I don't know that that'll happen again, but I'll certainly be around, and you'll see me. So I'll be out there.
Do you have time for one more question?
Sure, I have time for more questions.
Okay, yes. Thank you for calling in. Your name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Mr. Chevy Chase.
Hey, Chevy, how are you doing, buddy? It's Adam from the United States of America. My question is very simple. The question is, if you were president of the United States, what would you have done differently after the horrific attack on 911? Thank you.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have gone to Iraq. That's not where the attack came from. From the best we could find out from our intelligence, which apparently wasn't real intelligence, it came from Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. That's where Osama bin Laden was located, although we have no way of knowing if even he was involved. I'm sure there are a lot of people taking credit for that attack. I think it was well put together and rather lucky that it happened, but it's gone. I don't think we're going to see a lot more of those. The only thing these people really know how to do is blow things up. I doubt very much that I would have engaged our young people and our military into going and taking out Saddam Hussein and causing chaos in the sovereign country. I think that that was already against against the law. So that's not what I would have done. I probably would have spoken to the country and used whatever services we could to find out as much as we could through intelligence and who was responsible, and gone with more covert action for a longer period of time to get to the center of where this had all started. That's probably what I would have done, but I can't. I'm not going to be president, and I wouldn't listen to me if I were you.
Well, thank you very much for being with us tonight, Chevy Chase.
Sure.
I want to tell you that as you know, we have a virtual auditorium here that has been here, and we have just it's filled to capacity, and they are just loving you.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's been a great honor to have you here.
I'm honored. That's great.
So maybe we can get you back here. No, that's all right. We understand. You've got a life, and you're Chevy Chase, and we're not.
Okay,
I had to get that in before you left.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chase. You have a great evening. Thank you for being with us.
All right. Hang ten.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking a short break now for a public service announcement. And we'll be back with you in just a minute.
Millions of people are doing it on Pal Talk already. Meet new friends, see and be seen on webcams, and share files. With real-time video and the ability to talk to all your AOL, MSN, Yahoo, and ICQ buddies from one list, Pal Talk has it all. Join hundreds of chat rooms or start your own. Visit www.paltalk.com today and download the new messenger for free. Pal Talk, communication beyond words. In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who are forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio Show. We have just finished an interview with our guest, Chevy Chase, this evening, and it was a lot of fun for everybody. You guys can still call in and talk to Basma. I'm still here. We have no problems with that. This has been really a lot of fun. Sometimes our guests are limited with their time, and we wish we had a lot more time to talk to him, because he was really very fascinating. I thought it was a lot of fun, too. He still had that cold, dry kind of comedic flavor that he's always had. And it was very interesting talking to him, interesting hearing his perspective on what's happening in current events today, not only in the field of politics, but especially in the field, in the relationship to Hollywood. And you know what I really liked about him, I guess, was the fact that he was so respectful towards, like, the new actors and actresses in the world today. I guess coming from the background that he did, it makes quite a lot of sense that he would have a great deal of empathy for the struggle, for the work that goes and that's involved in this kind of. I just think it's wonderful, and he seemed like a really down-to-earth kind of guy. I guess I was taken aback a little bit when he said that he had given up a lot of his career to raise his daughters. Is that a beautiful thing or what? I mean, you know, just think about that. To be on top of the world and go through and help to nurture your family, what a great thing. What an excellent thing. Levy, were you the next caller? How cool. We have our virtual auditorium here, and they're all clamoring to get in. You wanted to, and one of our regulars here, Levi001, wanted to talk to him about John Belushi, which would have been a fascinating question. I mean, there's just so much you can talk about with these people. It's just like, especially a man of the caliber. I was fascinated, and you guys, anybody that's interested in a really fascinating read, Wikipedia has an incredible history of Chevy Chase. This is a dynamic, fantastic, and fascinating human being. What an incredible and diverse history he had. And to do the things that he did and come from the places that he came from, I found to be incredible. So really, go to Wikipedia on the internet I'm being detracted from all of the people clamoring with questions in the virtual auditorium here on Pal Talk. And by the way, we are being broadcast over BBS Radio and Pal Talk internet program, which you can access at any time by going to www.paltalk.com. All you have to do is download the software. Once you do that, you get a nickname, and you too can come in here and throw questions at Basma Farhat while she's on the radio and trying to concentrate and trying to throw her off. That's what everybody does in here for me. But it's a lot of fun. We have a great community here, and everybody has a great time. I'd like to let you all know about our guest next week. We are very proud to host Jeremy Woodrum. Jeremy is of the USA Campaign for Burma, which seeks the release of the Nobel Prize laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, who has been under arrest for quite some time now, from my understanding. Exactly. Let me see. I'm trying to think if I have it written down here. No, I don't. She's been under arrest, and Jeremy worked in the Washington, D.C. office at the Free Burma Coalition from 1999 to the year 2003. He served as the Washington director for the final 2 years. And during that time, he organized over 12 delegations of Americans to the Thailand-Burma border and led a nationwide boycott effort that resulted in 45 companies withdrawing from Burma. He's been nominated for the Reebok Human Rights Award. So it's going to be a great show. And one of his big campaigns is the release of this Peace Prize laureate recipient who had won the Peace Prize for her nonviolent actions and interventions in the Burma area. So it's going to be a great show. I hope everyone will be with us. And I want to thank our host, Chevy Chase, again for being with us tonight on BBS Radio and Pal Talk. And I'd like all of our guests to pat themselves on the back, all of our callers, friends and foe alike. It was a great show, and I'm really excited to have you all with us. And that's all, folks. We're going to be signing off now and hope to see you next week. Thank you very much for joining us here. Good night, everybody.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the seaboard by the relief of the summer people. And they stood there hungry, stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to New York Island, redwood forest, the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.